What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three, and we're talking with David from San Francisco. We're talking about the repo overnight lending to keep the banks afloat. And David is basically drawing a parallel with the derivative scandal, which was an absolute disaster and should never have been allowed to happen. And, of course, the other thing to keep in mind is if you look at the history of the crash of the 1930s, in 1929, when the market started to go south, short-term credit was cut off. And that's what took a minor downturn and turned it into the Great Depression.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do a little more research on that. I have heard that credit markets was cut off or it disappeared, and that gets into, not Goldman Sachs. I'm trying to think of it was J.P. Morgan. I'm wondering if he was involved in that. There were people that exacerbated.
It was the House of Morgan.
Right, yeah, whether they exacerbated the depression or the stock market crash to cause the depression. Because what Wilbur Ross is doing, you know, being the king of bankruptcies, is not new. It's an old technique. And I haven't looked at, in the old days, back, 1932 on, when the Federal Reserve was created, it basically would print 10 times more paper than we had gold. A 10-to-1 ratio, and they would sometimes reduce the amount of paper, bring it down to like 8 times or so, and because there was less paper to go around, there was less ability for employers to be able to pay their employees, especially employees that didn't have banks and didn't have checking accounts and whatnot. And so the amount, because there was less cash in circulation, they drew M1 down to 8 times or whatever. They would cause these panics, and so I'm wondering if a similar thing is going on. They don't the Federal Reserve doesn't use M1, M2, M3, and M4 anymore. I've forgotten the calculations they use, but that 10-to-1 ratio was the famous old one. But just to remind listeners of what derivatives was all about, the savings and loans crooks never got prosecuted. Just like in 2007 and 8, the subprime people didn't get prosecuted. So they went out into the world and basically put themselves in positions of power in various institutions. Things like school districts, sewer boards, various governmental entities, sometimes even whole cities. And they would take the treasury and they would lend it out on the overnight market and illegally, improperly. You know, say like you're the treasurer of the school district and you say, oh, I'm going to cash it. I'll take the money. I'll lend it to the Japanese overnight market. And since Japan is 6 hours in the future, they would lend it out for 6 hours or 5.5 hours or something, and the money would be shot over there electronically and shot back electronically, and technically it wouldn't ever disappear, you know, in that day's, accounts. But these guys would be then able to take that 6 hours worth of interest and pocket it. And they did it so many times that they lost track of how much they were lending, and it basically led to a collapse of all sorts of school districts and financial institutions around the country, sewer boards, water boards, school districts, universities, all sorts of governmental agencies. And as a matter of fact, if you're familiar with Orange County, Orange County is where Richard Nixon was from. A lot of famous Republicans were from Orange County. And these guys did it to their own county. You know, this was like the Republican stronghold. And because Ronald Reagan refused to prosecute the savings and loans crooks, these guys were left to milk their own world famous county. And so when you go down to Orange County to this day, the Green Party and Democrats have made a huge amount of headway because the Republicans did nothing to protect their own county. And so they were seen as the crooks that they are. So now when you look at the king of bankruptcies, Wilbur Ross, is put in as the Secretary of Commerce, and the Steve Mnuchin, a guy that should have been prosecuted in 2007 and 8, I think his company actually had some of the greatest amount of financial foreclosures on houses in America. And, you know, so the American homeless problem is caused by, basically, a great part of it is caused by Steve Mnuchin personally.
Okay.
And so the I'm wondering if they're doing the same thing with the American Treasury, secretly lending it out, and then they're getting caught, so that clenches the market. If $3 trillion was all of
$3 trillion
all of a sudden disappears from the lending market, well, maybe they've gotten busted. You know, they're no longer able to do this scam, and so now the banks are having to pay higher interest rates, or as you might mention or might think of it, the market forces have prevailed, and the higher interest rates are going to have to hold sway because this illegal money is not being circulated.
Well, I think there's another term for it that Claire likes to use all the time, and it's called rolling the receivables. And that is basically, you know, using money that's supposed to pay a bill, and it gets put off into the overnight lending market. They make a little tiny fraction of interest on it, and then they forward it along to where it's supposed to go. But it's still crooked. It's still underhanded. And if you've got enough volume of money flowing through your system, you can make a small fortune very quickly.
Yeah, $400 million missing for 2.5 months from Ukraine's weapons. You know, it's funny, you know, in this impeachment thing, you know, that this is not really being told to the American public. I think, I'm trying to think of the, God, what's his name on the chair of the Democratic, it was a judiciary that, anyway, he mentioned this morning in his statement about the impeachment that the my brain is just seizing up here.
Nadler, are you thinking about Nadler?
Yeah, Nadler. Yeah, exactly, Nadler.
Okay.
Yeah, he was mentioning that my brain's still seized up about my main point, but the amount of the Ukrainians have lost now about 14,000 guys in battles between Russia and
yes.
Ukraine. And that the $400 million...
Along with $5.3 trillion.
$5.3 trillion from... I hadn't heard anything.
From the United States. $5.3 trillion that went from the United States to Ukraine has vanished without a trace.
I haven't heard a word of that, but I'll take a look for it. But the point was of $400 million, if it was... lent out on the overnight market. The U.S. Congress, one of the few things that they did last year in a bipartisan way, Republicans and Democrats voted to spend $400 million, send it to the Ukraine so they could defend themselves against Russian attack and, you know, Russian invasion. And the Ukrainians have lost now something like 14,000 guys.
Yes.
And if Trump held off on spending this money, I heard it was 13,000 just a month or so ago. So apparently, you know, the death toll went up while Trump was playing around with that $400 million. And this, all of this discussion about whether or not Trump was able to do this or whether he was searching out for corruption over there or any other phony excuse that he's coming up with, Ukrainians are dying by the thousands because those weapons didn't show up there. And so this phony baloney business about, you know, Trump has the right to investigate, you know, corruption in the Ukraine. Well, he technically didn't ask a question.
Technically, he does. There's a treaty signed between Ukraine and the United States saying that each commits to helping the other deal with corruption. And there's no question Ukraine is one of the most corrupt nations on earth. And that's what Rudy Giuliani is over there dealing with right now.
In his own way. Yeah, because he's about as crooked as you can get. I mean, I've known people that talked about Giuliani's selling the parks of New York City to his development buddies. And I've actually, apparently, New York City, while he was mayor, had something like 400 pocket parks, these little tiny empty lots that were turned into public parks, you know, owned by the city. And while Giuliani was mayor, he was selling those as quick as he could. And he sold 400-something, he sold about half of them. And Donald Trump being a developer, I'm wondering how many, you know, at what point did Giuliani become corrupt and in beholding to Donald Trump? Because there wasn't any logical reason why Donald Trump should, you know, give, why Giuliani would have any, you know, need to be beholden to him. But selling off those parks has really decimated the public life in New York City. You know, you need a place, if you're living in skyscrapers, you need a place to calm down and, you know, look at the ducks or something. And Giuliani selling the land of New York City at cheap to be able to, you know, to fast buck a new skyscraper.
I'm not even sure what those pocket parks would really be good for, given the footprint there and the easement rules. And, of course, you've always got Central Park in the middle of Manhattan, where you can go and relax. So I'm not sure how much there is there. But looking back at Giuliani's tenure during 9/11, where he's out there saying, first of all, that he was told Building 7 was going to collapse. Then he refused to say who told him that that was going to happen. Then he went back and said, no, nobody said anything to us about it whatsoever. So he was in 9/11 up to his neck.
Sure. Well, much less, I've got news articles from the day that talk about the 2,000 gallons of diesel fuel that were parked in Building 7. Or was it 20,000 gallons of diesel parked in Building 7? And they said that that was the reason why it fell, which is also some horse crap. But they were coming up with all sorts of excuses for Building 7. God, all you have to do is look at the tenants list for Building 7 to realize that the FBI's evidence locker in New York City was destroyed in, 11 seconds? Or was Building 7 8.5 seconds? I think it was like 8.5 seconds. So all of the evidence against organized crime disappeared in 8.5 seconds. You know, and then the security exchange
remainder of the evidence of the remainder of the evidence of TWA 800 was also destroyed in that building.
Sure, much less Enron. Enron was huge in the news at that time. Enron leading up to the stock market swindles of what was that famous accounting firm? And that leads back to HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation. But the fraudulent accounting, Arthur Anderson.
Arthur Anderson, that was it, yeah.
Yeah, and all of those guys, all of the evidence in the Security Exchange Commission disappeared in 8 seconds.
Yes.
With the falling of World Trade Center 7.
Like bandits when Building 7 came down. Of course, it was a government building. It should have been built a lot more sturdy than the buildings around it, and it still collapsed like a cheap suit.
Well, it wasn't built by the government. I thought that was a Rockefeller building. It was built as a commercial.
It was built to house government offices, and that means, you know, extra fireproofing, extra bombproofing, and it was supposed to be very, very sturdy. and it just came right on down.
Well, it had to have been, a planned demolition, planned.
Yes, no question.
It would have been impossible. And that gets into the whole thing of God Almighty, if like they say with the two towers, that for the weeks ahead of time, there were some strange crews that were going in and out of there with no passes and, turning off the power for an hour or so at a time, as if they were installing the detonators. How could they have done it when you start looking at the tenants of World Trade Center 7, it was the New York office of the FBI. New York office of the Secret Service, the New York office of the Security Exchange Commission. I believe the CIA also had offices in there.
Yes, the CIA was
totally.
In well.
Yeah, I think Naval Intelligence. There were all sorts of different institutions in there. And how could a demolition crew be allowed to install these things in there? You would think that the any kind of dogs walking through that building, anybody would have been able to smell, if it was, it just would have had triggering all of the gas detectors for demolitions equipment.
Well, if they use thermite, there's no detectable odor with thermite.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'd never heard that. Well, in any case, somebody being able to install this stuff. I mean, you basically got to puncture the plaster off the wall to be able to put it into the beams, right, or the uprights. And so the idea that they'd be able to get access to all of those floors to be able to install this stuff, just amazing.
They didn't get access to all the floors. They only had to do the basement. I mean, look at the video of the collapse.
Don't you remember when those buildings fell, they fell in 20-foot lengths that were loaded onto trucks.
Are you talking quickly. Building 7 or the two towers?
I believe it was all of them, wasn't it? That they all fell.
No, Building 7 just came straight down into its own footprint. Building 7 straight down into its footprint. All they had to cut were the load-bearing members in the basement, and that would have brought it down.
Well, no, they couldn't. You see, in order to do a proper demolition, you couldn't. You would if it was a building, and if I remember right, Building 7 was 47 stories tall. And you would have a pile of maybe 20 stories tall, and instead there was actually a pit. In these buildings. So that meant that don't you remember that they sent these steel to China to be recycled within days?
Yes.
I mean, it was basically loaded on ships straight off the trucks, not used as evidence. And the beams girders, were in 20-foot lengths laying on the ground. So that meant that the thermite was installed at 20-foot intervals.
Or
they would have
the salvagers cut the beams into 20-foot lengths so they'd fit on the trucks.
They didn't have time to be able to do that. I mean, this stuff, the rubble was more of a pit than it was a pile. And with that in mind, those beams fell. It was like the concrete and the glass and concrete of the building was turned to dust by the explosions of the thermite and thermade. I was out here in San Francisco. We had a 9/11.
Okay, David, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We've got other callers waiting on the line. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go to the phones to Laura in Michigan. Aloha, Laura. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I have a little Giuliani story. Right after 9-1-1, when Ron Paul was running for president, the Republican convention is held on the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. You have to take a ferry to get there. So anyway...
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
We were all... Pardon?
I said I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, anyway, so after Ron Paul spoke, all the Ron Paul people wanted to leave at once because they didn't care about anybody else. It just happened. Giuliani was on our ferry with all Ron Paul people. So anyway, the Ron Paul people start chanting, 911 was the inside job. And you knew about it. 911 was the inside job, and you knew about it. And he was scared. But anyway, what happened was he had to go up. They brought him up to the wheelhouse, and he rode the rest of the way across the streets up in the wheelhouse.
Okay.
Because he was so afraid. He had to stand next to the pilot.
Yes. They call them pilots or helmsmen. They don't call them drivers.
Well, anyway, yeah. Anyway, he had to ride in that wheelhouse. So he was scared to death. I think he thought the Ron Paul people are going to dump him overboard. So every time I see him acting like a tough guy,
for the environment.
I think about that.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And the phone lines are open right now. California is bringing back debtor's prison for the homeless. Now, as you're already aware, homelessness has been on the rise in California. It's skyrocketed since the Camp and Carr fires devastated the state. So a lot of these people are homeless because of nature, and had nothing to do with themselves, their work, whatever. So California officials around the northern part of California in Redding, Mayor Julie Winter has sent a state of emergency request to Governor Gavin Newsom, approved by the Redding City Council last week, that requests the right to involuntarily detain people into homeless shelters. And in the letter, Mayor Winter asked the governor for aid in forcing the homeless to adhere to her regulations, which includes conservatorship, meaning they take what wealth you've got, until the individual has demonstrated the ability to care for themselves, including managing their finances, which is not going to happen. Once the government gets their hands on that money, that's it. You're not going to give that back. All righty, and we're going to take another phone call. Dustin in New Jersey. Dustin, I'm going to have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Man, that other listener, whoa, man, he was pretty knowledgeable on, like, the savings and loan stuff and all that. Wow, man, I didn't know that about Giuliani with the those park thing, with the parks in New York. The only reason I don't like Rudy Giuliani, well, now I know that I didn't, because of 9/11, remember his top cop, Bernard Carrick, the one where he dropped the terrorist pass ID out of his pocket and it fell on the ground right next to his foot? Do you remember?
Yeah.
And I remember he went to prison, right, for corruption. This is the people that are all surrounded them all because they're all corrupt too. And you know why I don't like Giuliani, Mike? Not only because of that with Bernard Carrick, because they all flock together. Birds of the same feather, is because, remember, Giuliani was he lobbied Obama to remove the MEK off the State Department's terror watch list, which is they're a terrorist group in Iran that are Wahhabis, basically Saudis.
Yes.
Well, that ideology. And which leads me, Mike, to Saudi Arabia. Like, what do you say? I mean, this is the problem with Trump now, with Saudi Arabia, because, see, he gives them all that money, and inside every Saudi is a Wahhabi waiting to get out with all the terrorist attack on the naval base. But they're funding these, you know, Mike, they fund this, we're funding the ideology. That's what we're doing. It's an incubator like Pakistan. You know, we sell them F-16s and stuff, and they pull that stuff with India, you know, but we're funding the ideology of these people, basically. We're encouraging them to continue what they're doing because we're using them like as a third party. Saudi Arabia is a third party proxy army. You know, that's what they are.
Yes.
You know, and it's just sad. Nothing's going to be done about it. You know, like, Mike, you know, do you ever watch the ISIS videos? Like the way they're trained and stuff? These guys are in formations.
Yes.
I mean, these guys, the Syrian army lost 100,000 soldiers. I'll hold on. I'll hold.
Yeah, hold. Please hold. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
You've got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking with Dustin in New Jersey. And Dustin, just pick up where you left off, please.
Yeah, I was talking about, you know, like the way if anybody watches the ISIS videos, how professional these guys are. They all have matching uniforms. You know, they all march in lockstep. They're obviously trained by somebody of higher caliber than what, you know, than they were originally going to be. You know, so it's obvious.
Yeah, well, again, we have Hillary Clinton on videotape admitting that the U.S. funded and trained these guys.
And we still are, Mike. You know, I remember back in the, remember Kosovo, wasn't it Bill Clinton? They were bringing them back here and training them on our own military bases, right?
Yes.
These jihadis, you know, and like I said, it's a third. Remember that company, Purple Shovel? Purple Shovel was contractors training these Al-Nusra Front and all these other guys on how to use, like, toes and stingers and all these other weapons. And but it's like, I mean, what do you, like, if Trump's in this position, right, like, where, remember he had that sit-down with King Salman that showed, like, he's buying hundreds of millions of dollars. You're selling weapons to people who want to cut your head off eventually. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like
they, I mean, the Wahhabi is like basically the predominant. Isn't that the predominant in Saudi Arabia? Like basically, they run the show, right?
I think so. I think they are. But again, look at ISIS and Al Qaeda. 20 years ago, we were funding and training these guys. Now we're having to fight them.
That's if you believe we're really fighting them, because remember they were airlifting them out of Afghanistan, you know?
And Syria.
And Syria. And Mike, remember, I was listening to a radio show over in New Jersey, a talk show, and they were talking about Warner Wolf in 1980. They said, like, when the Soviet Union, we're going to boycott the Olympics, because they, remember, because they invaded Afghanistan. We've been in Afghanistan almost 20 years. you know, what a joke. The whole thing is a joke, you know, like,
yes.
I don't know, Mike. You know, I look at, because people know my view on Trump now. You know, like, I look at Trump as, sure, there's elements of the deep state after him, but this is the battle between the Bloods and the Crips. That's what it comes down to, because, like that other caller said with Wilbur Ross and Steve Mnuchin, you know, you got Mike Pence. Other couple callers an hour and a half ago was like, Nikki Haley ain't so bad. No, Nikki Haley is really bad. And then you have like John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Gina Haspel. So I still go back. What's changed? Because all these people were there in other administrations, like, right? Either Bush or prior to that. You know, so Trump's just another side of the same coin. You know, I mean, I don't know anything about Wilbur Ross being the king of foreclosures or not, but these people are still in that sphere of influence. They're part of the establishment.
Well, you know, Mitt Romney did exactly the same thing. In fact, there was a film when Mitt ran for office the last time. There was this film that came out, was put out, I think, by the Gingrich campaign, called When Mitt Romney Came to Town, and basically described the same behavior. Come on in. Buy up a company, you know, shut it down, declare it bankruptcy, and sell off all the assets and leave all the people without work.
Okay, Mike, do I still have time? I wanted to switch gears real quick and talk about...
Yeah, you got a little time.
Okay, like, that Putin had this, not the the one with the Ukraine and Germany and France. He had another one with Belarus and... Azerbaijan, I think it was, and did you see that? Like they're thinking about where they're going to have open borders between Russia and Belarus to form one.
Yes.
Like there's going to be another block, a trading block and a military block with four countries.
Well, Putin's already talking about ending the war in Ukraine by the end of the year.
Yeah, but like. One of the stipulations on that is like, and Putin says at the end, is removing the border guards or bringing in the border guards, because like, I wouldn't
Good
bring
luck
in
on
the
that
border
one.
Guard. I mean, yeah, because I wouldn't let, you know, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know, Mike. I would just, and Mike, isn't there a law in the United States saying you can't sell weapons to a country if they're in a civil war? Because they have a breakaway Donbass and Lugan.
Well, heck, what do you think you've been doing in Syria all this time?
Yeah, man. Oh, man, I tell you, Mike, but like, and I still go back to my original point, nothing's changed. It's the same status, it's a status quo, Mike. It's a status quo. Nothing, you know, nothing.
We're a warrior nation, we're war profiteers.
We are, Mike. We're a warfare state. And it's and the people don't want to. That's the unspoken word. And Mike, before I get off the phone, did you watch the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer? Because I think there's hope for Ghostbusters after that debacle of that last Ghostbusters movie with the women.
Well, there's a new one. We'll see. I don't get to watch a lot of movies. Just because of time constraints, you know. I mean. It's a lot of hours to do show prep. It's a lot of hours to do the website. It's 3 hours to do the radio. And, you know, one of the things when I lived in Oahu, I did the radio show first thing in the morning when I was full of energy and so forth. And now, of course, by the time I'm done doing the radio show, it's almost bedtime. So I don't really get to watch a lot of TV. Anyway, Dustin, we're going to let you go here, and we're going to switch over to Kelly in Austin. Kelly, thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Yeah, certainly. I wanted to follow up on something. I think it was Peter from Los Angeles who commented on earlier about the Jew-driven coup. I saw this early on as something that was driven by aggressive Jews in Congress. And I commented on that from time to time to my wife, who is one of the nicest people you'll ever want to know and who tends to think I might go overboard. But as this thing has evolved and as I've commented on this along the way, she's beginning to change her mind, because what she sees now is a cavalcade of Jews who are being paraded up there in front of Congress and who are put up there in order to run this coup. You had two Jews this week. You had two big Jews last week. And you've got Jews running the committees. As one of your callers said a couple of weeks ago, you look down the list of people on his committees, it's Jew, black, black, Jew, black. And I've noticed that if my wife is beginning to rethink things, I'm sure that there are other people who aren't quite as nice as she is who have rethought this already or who are in the process of rethinking. And so they, I think, are probably overplaying their hands and might underestimate the backlash that they're liable to see if they push this thing any further.
Well, definitely I agree on the backlash. I'm still thinking about what Peter said on his phone call, and I'm not sure if this makes sense for Israel to be maltreating Donald Trump when Donald Trump has given them just about everything that they want. And I understand where Peter's coming from, that Trump is just being ping-ponged between this group of Jewish activists and that group of Jewish activists. But I don't know. I feel like I'm missing a piece.
Well, I think he's entirely right here. If you look at it here, looking at Donald Trump as a ping pong ball being played by good cop, bad cop makes a lot of sense to me. And it's especially so if you consider that Jews in Congress are far overrepresented with respect to their percentage in the population. And the fact that they are the ones who are driving this thing on all these committees. And then you've got these well-placed Jewish businessmen and well-placed Jewish politicians here and elsewhere. To me, it makes perfect sense that Donald Trump is somebody who's caught in between what appear to be warring factions, but who are all kind of driving toward the same objective.
Yes.
He's stuck. And then the one thing he could do would be to start off by cutting all the Jews off of his staff. And we could also do ourselves a lot of good by voting all these SOBs out of office. They have absolutely pushed this to the brink. And I fully expect that a lot of people are waking up, much like many Germans woke up during the 1930s. And they may find again that the backlash that they're going to encounter is far worse than they ever expected it would be. I don't think they were expecting a backlash, but I see a backlash growing.
Well, actually, there were elements within the Zionist community that wanted there to be a period of oppression in order to scare Jews out of Germany and down to what was eventually going to become Israel.
Well, yeah, I recall that. Reading it, of course, I wasn't there at the time, and I think, me neither. What Hitler was attempting to do was actually expel Jews from Germany. His objective wasn't to load them up into concentration camps and kill them. He tried to get rid of them and gave them an option to leave, but
he wanted to give them Madagascar.
Madagascar? I hadn't heard that.
He wanted to give them Madagascar. I mean, there are these coins that are still considered collectible in Germany that have the swastika on one side and the Star of David on another. They were getting along just fine, you know, until some troublemakers came on in and said, let's stir things up a little bit and, you know, get the Jewish people to move down to Palestine.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of that started with the Jewish boycott of Germany back in the early 1930s.
Yes.
And at that point, that was when Hitler and others decided, look, we've had enough of this nonsense. We're going to crack down. And I don't think we can do that here. I wouldn't recommend doing that here. But
I wouldn't either.
I think you're going to find. I think you're going to find that they're going to be some very surprised, very shocked people long term once they realize that they have gone way too far.
Well, it's like Rudy Giuliani up in that wheelhouse.
I'd like to have seen that. I bet he got up there as quickly as he could.
Probably.
Yeah, this is a good good program today. I've enjoyed the commentary, and I especially enjoy hearing from Peter. I think he's a very intelligent and man, I think, who's got a lot of insight into these matters. So, anyway, good
guy. Thank you for the kind words here. And we're going to let you go. We're almost at the end of the show here. We're going to go to Keith Rogers. Aloha, Keith. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Just one simple correction there, Michael, and good to hear you back on again. You don't have a civil war when you have members from 50-some nations or countries fighting to take down a legally elected government. The media has spun that as so as to name it a civil war, but it was none of that. I mean, we have documented proof clear back to 2012 that the United States started funding these terrorists. And I always like to look at that. When you look at congressional records there, it says the Congress spent a little over $700 million arming and training these jihadists. Well, in America, our roads are a shamble. They won't buy a snowplow.
Yes.
This is how ridiculous things are like that. So, I mean, this is what we're faced with. This is an old CIA plot of using these CIA stay-behind death squads. You can rename them to whatever you want. This has been going on for eons now. And finally, like you mentioned earlier in your show, those people throughout Central and South America and such are waking up to the fact that they have been had. They want their independence back. And this is the same thing that led to the buildup of the Vietnamese War, when Ho Chi Minh, who was funded by the United States, given all the radio equipment and stuff to radio in the downed pilots and other information like that. But it was when Ho Chi Minh declared independence for Vietnam, all hell broke loose. And they just don't like these little vassal puppet declining empire states falling away. And this is where we're at today. So it doesn't matter what country it is, it's the same thing.
Yes. So no, they're just they're co-opting these nations left and right. And they're going through what's politely called regime change, which is simply taking over the country and running it the way that you want to run it. And the people who are living in these countries don't like this, and it's not surprising they're going to fight back. Okay, story that just came in a little while ago, and coupled with that story about the supposed Iranian missile attack on the Baghdad airport. Google is now blocking access to the YouTube accounts of Iran's Press TV and Hispan TV. There's been no prior notice. And so it looks to me like something is getting ready to happen where they don't want you to be able to see the other side of the story. They're not going to want you to see Iran's point of view. They're not going to want you to hear that there are no weapons of mass destruction, that the Iranian leadership did not, in fact, gas their own people. And so I find this very alarming, and it does feel to me like they're getting ready to crank up the war with Iran, which is the next thing that's on Israel's wish list for Donald Trump. Okay, getting on back to the economic news here. There's a major freight carrier, Indianapolis-based Celadon. They filed for voluntary Chapter 11 bankruptcy yesterday morning. They have left 3,000 truckers jobless, many of them stranded on the highways. They don't have enough gas to put in their trucks to get home. Per capita world debt has surged to more than $200,000. This is $86,000 for every person in the world, which is 2.5 times the annual income. So don't tell me that this is a good economy, because it isn't. It absolutely is not. It's the one area where Trump is really lying to us left and right, is the state of our economy. Because it is not good, it is not healthy, it's about to get worse. We need to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Last segment of our program today. Out in California, a woman is suing the TSA for detaining her and forcing her to submit to a groin search. She's got a very good lawsuit. okay? Because, you know, the job title may be transportation security officer, but despite the officer emblazoned on the plastic badge on their chest, TSA screeners are not law enforcement officers. They do not have the authority to make arrests or hold travelers for any length of time. If they think you're breaking the law at a checkpoint, their only option is to call the real police to deal with the situation. Unfortunately, a lot of these TSA screeners forget the boundaries of their authority, and they think they're law enforcement, and they think they have the authority to conduct groin searches. So this woman is suing, and I think it's a really good thing, because this has got nothing to do with security and everything to do with getting people to cower in front of anybody wearing a badge. All right, over in Kentucky, the Supreme Court has opted to leave in place a pro-life Kentucky law that requires women seeking an abortion to see an ultrasound of their unborn children before making the decision to abort. Okay? And finally here, a city in Illinois has announced it will create a reparations fund for its African-American community through a new tax on marijuana sales. So recreational use of the drug will become legal in the state from January, and officials in Evanston, which is 12 miles north of Chicago, have voted to approve a 3% tax on the sales of marijuana to fund a local reparations program. The tax is expected to generate between $500,000 and $750,000 annually for the reparations fund, which will be capped at $10 million over the next 10 years. And I have to tell you, I still think this whole reparations is just another way to redistribute the wealth, because nobody alive today was ever a slave. Nobody alive today was ever a slave owner. And they may well be taking money from people who have no connection to slavery whatsoever. How do you determine that? How do you determine if the person you're taking money from is the descendant of a former slaveholder? How do you determine if the person who's receiving that money is the descendant of a slave? My ancestors never owned slaves. My ancestors ran a station on the Underground Railroad. And I resent this idea that I'm somehow obligated to pay money into a reparations fund for something that I never did. By the way, an emergency room physician for 37 years has never seen anyone admitted for marijuana complications. Certainly don't get that with other recreational drugs here. And we're coming up here on the top of the hour and the end of our show here. Jury selection will begin today in the trial of Sean Urbanski, the Maryland man accused of fatally stabbing Bowie State University student Richard Collins III. All right, there's the music. It's time for us to get on out of here. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And please spread the word of RBN. Please spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. And please donate. And apparently Harley Schlanger is coming on with John Stadmiller, so stay tuned. It's going to be a really good call. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.